And our community connection brought to you this morning by First Baptist Church and also by Tall Grass Motors. Opportunity for me to spend a little bit of time finding out what's going on with the people and services of Family Crisis and Counseling Center. And Patty Beavers in to assist me with that this morning. And so, Patty, first of all, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and share a little bit about the agency. We talk, you know, in general, sometimes about specific areas of services that we do provide. And today I just wanted to go over and recap, you know, the services to make for sure, in case there's someone new, or make for sure the listeners, you know, understand and remember, you know, exactly what we do.
Well, and sometimes I'll say services, we know that something is available out there because you're on a regular basis, but we didn't need to know about it last month, and now we do, or whatever. So, you know, right. There's always somebody out there that's going to perk up their ears on this one, that it's going to hit home to them one way or the other. You are there, I think, primarily as because you've got a shelter for women. We look at services to women and or their children, mm-hmm. but you're there for the guys too.
Absolutely. Men are included in this. You know, 20%, this is about 20% of the clients that I see, mm-hmm. Or actually would be both of us that see in a year, about 20% of them are men now. Mm-hmm. So before, when we were women and children in crisis, and then we switched over to family, mm-hmm. Is because men are also victims.
Yeah.
And we have services for men. Obviously, they don't go to the women's shelter, but we do have funding that if there is a man that's displaced, you know, from his home, and a man, if he has children, you mm-hmm. know, either or, then he can come to the agency, and we have funding to put them up in a motel for two nights and also give them food vouchers for okay. from a local, you know, restaurant mm-hmm. that's around there. And then after those two nights, if we need to revisit it and see what ultimately what his, you know, continued needs are,
right.
then we do that.
Well, and your shelter, not that folks don't occasionally stay there for quite some time, but basically even your shelter is a short-term shelter.
Absolutely. It is short-term. It's to have someone have a safe place to come to where then they can be safe and receive the services that they need, whether it's maybe they have medical, maybe they have dental, maybe they have some psychological issues that need to be, you know, seen. We work with them. I think they call it case management. We mm-hmm. work with them and help them, you know, start looking for work, get signed up for homes or apartments, mm-hmm. Get on a waiting list because there's always a waiting list.
Seems that way anyway.
Right. And, you know, what's available for them in our community. Mm-hmm. Resources are crucial.
Yeah.
To help these people get back on their feet. Not everyone is from Bartlesville that comes to our shelter. I would say at least 50% of the people aren't. They're from other parts of the state, sometimes even out of state.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely with our proximity to the Kansas state line, it makes sense that at least some of the people that you know, come to you through your door, mm-hmm. Heard about it maybe through here or through word of mouth, whatever, and said, oh, there's one in Bartlesville. Let me just head down there.
Right. Yeah. You know, and all our domestic violence agencies, shelters are online. So if you know, look for the domestic violence shelters in Oklahoma, for instance, you're going to find out what all towns they are in. So mm-hmm. sometimes we've even had people from like Tennessee. We'll have an agency call us in Tennessee because they're helping someone flee and want them to get to Oklahoma, have a place to stay. And then at that point, they're far enough away. They can then determine, you know, are they going to stay here and relocate here? Do they need our address confidentiality program? And that's where they can get set up and receive child support and other important documents, but then the abuser or the defendant won't know where they are because it runs through a post office box out of Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. You know, there's options. And a lot of times they're stopping here to kind of get regrouped, and then they may go on out to family further out, you know, west.
We haven't really talked about the address confidentiality program, and I'm sure it doesn't affect the majority of the people that you deal with, but it's nice to know that service is out there.
It is. It's really great. It's, you know, we don't do a lot of it, but it's set up that you come in the office and we do the paperwork for you. It's through the Oklahoma Attorney General's office, and then if you fled from another state, or another part of the state, you know, and you need to not you know, your defendant or abuser needs to not know where you are, mm-hmm. then you can register for this. Your mail will go to a post office box in Oklahoma City. Then they redirect it to a post office box here, if you were living in Bartlesville, to Bartlesville. But anyone that sees your mail thinks your address is a post office box in Oklahoma City.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. And that way, the individual, if somebody ever does get a piece of your mail because they see it, you know, being sent or whatever, then they're certainly not going to find you in Oklahoma City. So.
Right, right. So, and then there's other parts of that law, too, then, because sometimes you say, well, you know, like schools won't take a post office box. They have to have a physical address and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of times schools are where, you know, the abuser or defendant will find the kids and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But schools have to honor that. It's part of the law. They work with the address confidentiality program.
So it's an attorney general program that you are able to take advantage of then, really.
Absolutely, to help people with.
Okay, sounds like a great deal. And you know, the more people that you deal with, I know you're busy all the time, but you know, you do see trends in what goes on in family violence situations, and
right.
I'm sure there are certain trends that you can talk about. I know, like during the holiday season, we talk about holiday stresses and that sort
right.
of thing. But even springtime weather or summertime weather can cause some problems.
You know, it does. There are trends, you know, the really cold weather, the really hot weather tends to, you know, I get cranky too when mm-hmm. it's real hot. I mean, everyone does. So then you add these other factors in that a lot of times that we receive more calls for shelter then. So there's really kind of a cycle. We do, on an average, the last 4 or 5 years that I've been tracking it, we do about 385 protective orders a year. But we'll do about 360 crisis calls a year in addition to that.
Okay.
Maybe 250 of them come through our office. And the others then are the after hour, you know, we can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Those crisis calls then are taken by shelter staff that answer the phone in the evening. So there's, right now we're seeing more protective orders. In the month of April, we saw more protective orders than we had crisis calls. The month before, we had a lot more crisis calls. So it's, you know,
it varies, but I'm sure if you look at it long enough, you could say, and I don't know that this is true, this is hypothetical, that, you know, from March 15th to May 1st, typically you go more towards the, you know, or protective order business than you do some of the other things because of the weather or whatever.
Right, yeah. Right. And y'all look at it from, you know, I do a spreadsheet just by month, mm-hmm. you know, but yes, it, you know, you look at the trends, and I've got about 4 years of information out there. You can see the trends and what months, you know, on an average that they kind of standard yeah. each year, a couple of peak months.
That's good information to keep your board of directors up to date with.
Sure, yeah. yeah.
What other services does FCC offer?
Okay, in addition to the protective orders and in addition to our shelter, we also have victim services. You know, when someone comes in either for a protective order or they've called our crisis line or they're at our shelter, all our victim services are free. And that is to also help them get established and I don't know if this is right, we're kind of calmed down to where they can look and realize, you know, there's a pattern to this. We work with them with you know, the power and control wheel. You know, there's a pattern to this. And then when they can attend either individual services or our support groups and stuff mm-hmm. and see what the, like, oh my gosh, yes, this is what he or she does.
You're describing me.
Right. And then they can kind of own that, know that how to recognize it, what they can do to keep themselves safe, or, you know, in hopes to stay away from an abusive relationship. They learn, you know, boundaries that they didn't have before because they were just, you know, steamrolled over.
Sure.
How to, you know, what is a healthy relationship or what is not? You know, how to have a healthy relationship. You know, there's a lot of things that are out there for us to help. And then there's the kids. You know, don't forget the kids. But until the parent, you know, whether it's male or female, can get in that frame of mind to want help for themselves, it's harder. You know, they have to be engaged.
You can't help someone else if you're still hurting.
Right,
you know.
Right. Right. So. And then we have prevention in the schools. So, and that's another great
Yeah, and program. Melissa is in with you several times a year to talk about what she's doing. And as I look at the school calendar with, I'll say, for generally less than a month to go in schools, so she's starting to wind down her programs.
Well, Melissa's are in the office at all times. We have a prevention specialist named Tony Mallow that does the prevention
right.
in the schools.
Okay.
Right. So hers will, and then we're down to what summer programs are out in the community that would like for her to come and present.
Sound like a great deal. We'll find out more about that as we continue a community connection coming up in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, continuing our time this morning with Patty Beavers and talking about the Family Crisis and Counseling Center, the programs and services that they offer. But, you know, it's also part of being involved in the community and allowing the community to be involved in what you do.
Absolutely, and we need the community's help. For the community, if you suspect that you have a coworker or a relative, neighbor that's being abused, you know, we have little emergency cards or just little cards. They can drop by the office and visit with us. We can give them pamphlets and so forth that they can give to this neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing is to let the neighbor or coworker, whomever, know that you're there to support them if they need your help. You know, a lot of times it's their path and they just have to follow it. But the main thing is when a victim leaves, you know, a domestic violence situation, they're in more harm's way then, and they know that because if they carry through all the threats that they're always threatening, if you leave me thing, mm-hmm. you know, so it's really important that we help, you know, these people with safety plans and have resources on how to help them. In addition to that, then when the more we have in the shelter, we provide food. Sometimes people donate clothes. We provide, you know, toothpaste and toothbrushes and soaps and shampoos and stuff. But these are donations. The other thing I'd like to encourage the community is, you know, if you plant a garden, you know, we'd love to have, you know, fresh vegetables because at some point there's always a surplus, you know.
Right.
And
you, you have no tomatoes and the next day you have too many tomatoes.
Right, right. You know, so if they have extra things, if things go, or I'm real big on 10 for 10, you know, most people don't buy 10 for themselves, but, you know, buy extra for the shelter. Think about the kids that are there, you know, kid snacks and things that, you know, kid-friendly things that we, you know, obviously, you know, don't keep. All of those are important. You know, to the people that are at the shelter. So anytime that you see things on sale or you're, you know, in a position to be generous with things like that, you know, please keep us in mind. You know, it takes donations from the community to help us, you know, take care of the people at the shelter.
And then once they have items to donate, then just call your office and you'll
bring them down to the office and then we'll get them to the shelter.
Exactly. Sounds like a great deal. And, you know, the that just, you know, helps everybody out. It promotes your mission because you don't have to go out and spend your donated dollars to that. Mm-hmm. And you've got something ready to use. Take it over to the shelter and say, here, got some stuff for you.
You don't think about peanut butter and ketchup and syrup and, you know, those things that aren't going to go bad anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things, you know, that, you know, we can always use that
Unless there's a food allergy, what kid doesn't like peanut butter?
That's
you know.
Right.
So it's all a matter of having, and I think, you know, you look at some of those things I'll just mention, well, I'll just say comfort foods. Everybody mm-hmm. knows what we're talking about. Just if you have a few of those, even if they are perishable, somebody right. at the shelter will like it tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I watch my cabinets because a lot of times I buy things to have on hand and then I don't eat them like I thought I would. You know, I'll pull them out then and donate them to the shelter before they expire because obviously I accidentally bought too much or changed my mind or something, you know, so take the hamburger helper to the to our office and we'll give it to the shelter.
There you go. And if the hamburger is frozen, you might even take that along, so I don't know. Anyway, you do also have openings for volunteers to donate a couple of hours a month or more.
Right, absolutely. And I need volunteers right now. One of the biggest things I need right now is someone that would be willing to answer the phone. We have three meetings a month at the shelter or where the shelter manager needs to come to our office for meetings, and I need volunteers to help me cover those days. Mm-hmm. They could be a 2.5 hour to 3 hour meeting, and you know, you're just answering the phone, taking messages, you're being that, you know, person in the shelter while she has to be away, because we're only staffed with one person at the shelter at a time. Mm-hmm. There's always someone on backup in case they have an issue and need something. But think, you know, for that, then we do have to have someone that's over there. Sometimes there's people that if you want to do the grocery shopping for them, or you want to arrange the meals, you know, for the evening and make sure the right things are there. You know, there's a lot of little things that can be done.
Sure. And it's all can be done by the shelter staff if they've got the manpower to maybe answer the phone or do whatever else is necessary.
Right.
Yeah. So there is that opportunity. And, you know, you do just have the opportunity to go out and talk to community groups. If somebody is, you know, it's just, you know, they drive by the building every day, they see your sign, but they really don't know what goes on in there.
You know, I'd love to be able to visit with more church groups. There's women groups, any social group. You know, I've had the privilege of visiting with the Kiwanis Club this week. I had the privilege of meeting with the Civitan Club this, I guess, 2 months ago. You know, the Lions Club. Any club, any organization that's interested in what we do, you know, I'd love to come out. If you prefer someone else, then we'd love to send them. So anyone in our agency would love to come and visit with you.
Sure. And even if the two individuals had the same speech outline, you're going to say different things. So,
Sure.
So volunteer opportunities, there are things you need at the shelter. We're again talking about obviously non-perishable stuff, but mm-hmm. if you've got something that has got a short date and you're not going to use it, then the shelter mm-hmm. probably can.
Right. You know, and one of the things that I've kind of took for granted, and I was going, wow, you know, they need spices.
Mm, sure.
One time I was going to donate some you know, pumpkin pie filling, and they didn't have any of the spices. I thought, really? You know, so yeah, just, you'd be, you know, it's things like that you don't think about.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it sounds like a great deal. Patty, this is a great service that FCC offers to the community, and again, based on donor support. And I know you have some fundraisers throughout the year, but we'll talk about that at a different time. If somebody would like to volunteer, how do they get a hold of you?
Please call 918-336-1188 and ask for me, or just tell them you're interested in the volunteer services. You can go to our Facebook page, and I think there's a link there also.
Okay, that's Community Connection on AM 1400 K1. More coming up in just a bit.
KWON AM 1400 and FM 93.3 is your home for